Yeah, well, welcome everyone. I'm so very happy to be here in the Marine Sangha. And I see some familiar faces and some faces are new. So, welcome. And I'll offer a guided meditation for us today. It's about 35 minutes or so. And this is a practice that Philip Moffat taught us quite extensively called arriving sequence. And I'll offer an aspect of this arriving sequence for us to practice together tonight. So we'll begin. And I'll begin with the sound of a bell. And you may be hearing some background sound that, you know, my son is practicing his drums right now in a different room. I'm just arriving with however things are in your environment, arriving at here and now, just as it is, not demanding for things to be otherwise. You can begin to register different experiences as we arrive. Sound, smell, sensations in the body. And so we know we are present. We are present because we can register what's happening right now. One moment at a time. We're not in a hurry. We're learning to be present just this moment. Breath may become felt, visible. Wide range of sensations may become felt, sensed, coming alive. Arriving. as the momentary presence come one after another. You can begin to feel a kind of a presence. You're available. Available to the moments, maybe the flow of experience. You don't have to go to specific experience, but you can feel how you might be available to the flow of experience. Soundscape, sensations in the body, flow of the breath, as if you're entering into the bigness of life unfolding. The dynamic unfolding of life. Being available. Available to life as is. If the mind is pulled away into thinking, storytelling, whenever you notice, you can choose to start over, arriving again. This is not a mistake. But it's a sincere practice. Here and now. Here, in the midst of happenings. now. Arriving to the degree when availability becomes visible, felt. For some, it may be meaningful to open to aligning with the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, like how we opened with the refuges. Aligning as a felt sense, here and now. From an available and aligned place, you can turn to the felt sense in the body. If you haven't done so already, the earthy body resting on earth. gives stability with this earthy body. And breath enlivens the body. Earthy, dynamic, alive. gathering and connecting our minds and hearts in the embodied experience. Felt sense. May feel the flow of energy, vibrations, tingling, pulsations, gather and collect with the experience of the body. Becoming centered, unified, the sounds that happen at the sense gates don't have to take us away. Just another sound. Or the thoughts. Just another thought. Waves of emotions, just emotions. You are centered here in the embodied awareness. Relaxing and softening into this embodiment. Settling deep within this body. As if you can feel the nerve systems or the cellular vibrations. Easily satisfied. gentle, soft, So good to be with you all, and thank you for inviting me back to this sangha. I feel quite intimate knowing that Philip Moffitt, who's my teacher and has been teaching this for a long while and many years, and now this is being kind of supported by other teachers, and this makes me very happy to be here. I brought with me a topic tonight, which is actually a topic that Philip sometimes talks about and he writes about, and this is the topic called Tyranny of Expectations. Some of you may have heard this before, and I'll see if I can bring something new to this reflection about expectations. Expectations is such a common word, and I'm aware that we may have, each of us may have different associations with it. So I would like to offer a specific definition that I'm using to describe this aspect of a tyranny of the expectations and how we learn to be free from the tyranny of the expectations. And so that I'm going to start with a definition, and then I'll kind of elaborate a little bit and contrast it with some other common words that kind of are in this territory. The specific definition I have about this kind of expectations that causes tyranny is a kind of a strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. And so, you know, this word should, you know, I should be da 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 da. You know, is a flavor of this kind of expectation. We have certain kind of a strong belief about a future state. Or you can also say maybe a kind of fixed view about a future state of a being or a future happening. And there are several different words that sometimes gets used interchangeably, and we sometimes use that the word intention or purpose or goals that interchangeably with expectations. I want to just kind of differentiate a little bit, not that this is the right definition, but it's just that how I'm using it to highlight an aspect of how our mind works that can get us caught, which is using this word expectation. Now, intention often is used to represent the underlying motivation or why behind a certain kind of action. And it's the function of intention, you know, I intend to be mindful. It's this kind of underlying motivation to be mindful here. It sets the tone of the activity, and that's the kind of intention. But the expectation, if I'm expecting, I'm mindful. How do you feel about that? That already for me, I'm tightening up. What if I didn't, right? What if I didn't get mindful? And so you can feel the difference. I'm intending, and that's a kind of an orientation. But if I'm expecting, it's got a little weight on it. You know, it's got a little pressure to it. And purpose is a kind of overarching orientation, it's a kind of way to guide our action, and so it orients us in terms of a function, and that too is different from expectations, at least in the way that I'm describing today. Doesn't mean that, in regular conversations you couldn't mix them all, but I wanted to just differentiate some of the different aspects here. And goals are some specific measurable objectives that one aims to achieve, and it tends to be used to measure against something. The expectations, the key word is the strong belief of what should happen. So you can feel the weight of that versus a goal. A goal is something we set, but expectation has got this flavor, well, if I don't get there, something is wrong. It's not good, kind of a feeling. And you can feel that kind of expectations already does have a flavor of a tyranny. And you can feel that. And so I wanted to just start out to differentiate a few of these words that sometimes we use. But today, just for the sake of exploring this particular phenomenon of our mind and heart, that can lead us to entanglement and stress and dukkha, is what I'm using the word for, this expectation. Doesn't always mean that expectations are bad, but the way I'm using it right now, today, carries a flavor of a strong fixed belief about how the future is like. Now, it's a very common phenomenon, and that's why I wanted to bring it in to discuss and reflect a bit. The unmet expectations or met expectations can cause a lot of emotional up and downs. For example, if you expect someone to behave in a certain way, so for example, if you're in a band, I'm just using an example here. And when you meet for a rehearsal, you're expecting your bandmates to come and having practiced their songs. But they came and they didn't do it. So this is unmet expectation. Now, if you're really firm about that, this is an unmet expectation, what can happen? Well, you may feel disappointed, or you may feel frustrated, or may even be angry or confused about this whole thing. So why did they do that, right? I don't want it to be in this band anymore. If you don't come and prepared, you can see, there's a lot of emotional ups and downs begin to bubble when we're locked in based on a kind of expectations. And even the met expectations can lead to emotional ups and downs. For example, if you expect yourself to win something, an award, and for the poem or some articles you wrote, and you did win, and then that was great. But now your behavior can now be shaped by a kind of expectation you set. Now you're expecting next time you're also going to win. And can you feel the possibility of this leading to stress, anxiety, competitiveness, or maybe even some kind of aggression, right? And so this is the tyranny of the expectations that can come. And when we're being very strong and firm, believing this is how it's supposed to be and can't be otherwise. Now, sometimes our expectations are not that firm. then I wouldn't put them into this category of expectations. But what I'm talking about tonight is this kind of a strong, firm belief kind of expectations. And sometimes it's hard to see that expectations can rule our lives in various ways. You can form certain views about oneself or others and not realizing that it's actually because of a kind of underlying layer of expectations you have. For example, if I believe that I'm incapable of doing arts, any kind of arts, and that view may well be based on a kind of low expectation about yourself in this whole creative aspect of human life. When we form this kind of a view based on this kind of underlying expectations, it can be very limiting, right? And it can control how we might show up in this whole aspect of our lives. And maybe you can feel a kind of shrinking away when we're kind of ruled by the underlying expectations. Or, you know, there may be a sense of not willing to engage in some way. And a part of life may feel dull because of this. And so there are many kinds of expectations, this kind of unrealistic low expectation or negative expectation, that they're expecting something not to happen, it should not happen to me or to others. And it can harden into something that really locks us in. We can't quite see ourselves or other people in different ways. And this kind of low expectation or negative expectation can also lead to one to a kind of withdrawal in life, or they shut down. You know, there is a kind of a failure to see any possibilities or opportunities that may be here. Can you feel how this might flatten or not enlivening one's life in this way? And unrealistic high expectations can also lead to the opposite. Some of you may have done meditation retreats, and it's not uncommon for most of us who has done meditation retreats would probably have experienced this kind of a tyranny of expectations. You know, we go on a retreat and then we thought we should be calm and peaceful and joyful, blissful, but all that we're experiencing is body aches, our emotions go up and down, and our mind runs wild. When we're ruled by this should not be happening, you know, that's the tyranny of the expectations. When we're ruled by that kind of expectations, guess what? It just leads to more blame and shame and criticism or doubts. Doubts about the teachings, doubts about our own practice, our own ability, and doubts about a lot of different things. And so we fail to see that this difficulties is actually part of the retreat practice. It's part of our practice journey that everyone would move through this ups and downs. And so unrealistic expectations, high expectations, can be quite consequential in one's life. I myself recognized this in some part of my own practice, that the pattern of kind of chronic striving, being hard about oneself or others, they often trace back to some unrealistic high expectations about myself. I should be different, you know, I should be better than this. And so I'm just going to try even harder, you know, let's get going, really do this. And so this kind of, in this way, the expectations are said to be unrealistic because they come from failing to meet life the way it is. The expectation is pulled by this future-driven orientation. It has a fixed idea that's how it's supposed to be. And so in the nature of this kind of expectations is that it arises out of not seeing things just as they are. And so this is the definition of a delusion in a deluded mind. And it's often driven by a kind of wanting mind or the desire. Without some capacity of mindful awareness, we often don't know that we're relating to things through this kind of filters of expectations, and we can react based on the expectations. For example, if you're expecting, for example, in this group, you're expecting the group it to be safe, kind, and conflict-free. But what turns out is that some people have different views, different perspectives, and they seem to be contradictory to each other. Now, if there is a strong expectation of conflicting free, that is beginning to rub against each other. You know, we can't have people to have different perspectives, and that seems to be contradictory to each other and maybe causing even some kind of conflicts. In the bigger picture, if we just pause, reflect for a moment, we can all know that in any group, in fact, even in family, it's normal that there are differences, there may even be some conflicts. It's far more important for us to hold, to cultivate a capacity to hold the differences and to really listen, rather than believing that this should not be here. And then we can begin to impose demands or tighten up or even maybe beginning to divide, right? Divide the group in some ways. And so the expectations and that comes from this kind of a fixed perspective, the fixed views about how things are supposed to be really is not aligned with the reality. And the other aspect of how expectations are formed is that often expectations are formed based on a kind of a long, deep, repetitive conditioning. And Philip liked to use this phrase. He says, many of your expectations are old goals that have become fossilized. You feel fossilization of them? They are hardened. You know, they have to be the way it is. It can't be any other way. Yeah, so for me, it's not until I started my Dharma practice, and particularly mindfulness practices, I began to see how much my own striving and trying hard. It's based on certain kind of underlying hidden expectations that I should be something other than this, whatever this is, you know, right here and now. And I also get to see how pervasive this pattern was. You know, just imagine if this is the way how I'm oriented in our meditative practice. And then what about the other aspects of the life? I began to see, oh, and it's not just in here, it's in other places too. There is this orientation as well. And for me, as I began to drop into the felt sense in my body, in my system, I began to notice how often there is a leaning forward kind of a momentum in my system. Oh, I got to get out, go somewhere else, you know, kind of go somewhere else that that somehow matches with a hidden kind of expectation. And this practice, this Dharma practice, over time began to open up to a different way, that learning to soften, relax, easing up. And in often Philippa would invite us in this sense of softening into the experience and staying there. Can you feel the difference between that and leaning forward, leaping out kind of a feeling, which is often being pulled by this sense of expectations? So I want to say a little bit about how to become free from expectations. And I, as I was just describing, freeing oneself from expectations is starting from living in the present moment, here and now, and begin to be aware what is here. As I mentioned, that the expectations has its root in a kind of a future orientation. That in its own nature, it pulls us away from being present. And it is based on strong belief or strong idea of how the future is. And so as a result, it's not rooted in the reality. It's not based on here and now. And so it's constantly, you know, it's constantly seeing things based on the belief, based on the idea of the things, how it's supposed to be. And this is why it's so hard to fulfill the expectations, right? You can see just how hard it is, because it's not aligned with the reality. And at times we may somehow feel like we met expectations, but it's so easy for that expectation to be shattered again. And so mindfulness practice is very important in allowing us to be free from this kind of fixed beliefs. And when we're present, we can begin to feel and sense what's in the present moment. Maybe we can feel, oh, and there is a felt sense of expectation here that can be known. Like for myself, is recognizing this forward-leaning gesture that's in me, kind of that energy in me, that I can recognize, oh, and there is a kind of expectation. I don't even know what exactly it's expecting, but there is that momentum that leads into it. And so when we're present, we have a moment, a window of a choice that we can say we don't have to chase the leaning forward energy. And we can let it pass through us. And so expectations are expectations. They come and they go. They don't have to rule us. They don't have to dominate our lives. And the other thing I wanted to say that is quite important when we began to have cultivate mindfulness practice is that when we're present and attuned to what is here, what is present, we can begin to feel possibilities. I'd like to read this a few lines from Philip's article on this. And it says, a critical step in gaining clarity about expectations is learning to distinguish it from possibilities. Expectations narrow your options, retard your imagination, and blind you to possibilities. They create pressure in your life and hold your present sense of well-being hostage to a future that may or may not happen. Expectations create rigidity in your life and cause you to react impulsively to any perceived threat to the future you believe you deserve. Just going to pause and let you feel how that might resonate or not in you. Now, this word possibilities. Can we differentiate expectations from possibilities? Possibilities are quite different from expectations. Possibilities are something we feel in the present moment. When our heart and mind is open, we can be attuned to things that are emerging within. Even if we don't know exactly what it is just yet, but we can feel something emerging, arising. And when we're attuned in that way, and this kind of emergence can become a possibility. And each moment, there are many things that are emerging in us. When we're not open, we're already locked in how the future is supposed to be, we can't feel the possibility. I remember that in one of my Dharma training program graduation ceremony, a group of us in this program were all asked a question as part of the ritual. In our graduation, and the question is, what is Dhamma? No, so it's kind of like a trick question, I guess, a koan or something. And I was the first one going through this ritual to have to give the answer to this question, what is Dhamma? And because I was the first one, so I didn't get to hear other people, you know, what they said. And so I just stood there, and spontaneously, and this came to me, and that is, Dhamma is endless possibilities. I can't say exactly why it came. Maybe I felt a kind of a possibility when we're present. When we're open, we're also having a possibility to be flexible, to respond to the life flow. And maybe we can respond in a very creative way, rather than reactive ways. Reactivity tends to be based on a habit pattern, but responsive, we can open to what may be here, what may be possible, what may be emergent. I
was watching, I like to watch kids. I also do a little bit of a wall climbing. My son is into wall climbing a lot. And I love to watch people do that. And I love to do it myself also, but I didn't get to do it very often. When you do wall climbing, what is very interesting about this particular sport is it actually relies on how you feel and sense your way up the wall. And you kind of balance your weight in certain way and maybe moving your arm body in certain ways and so that you can be supported by the wall and by the grip, and you can move yourself up in some way. And often, surprisingly, this way of moving up is not necessarily based on your strength alone in the body, but it's also based on how you feel in the moment, different possibilities of going up. And some of the moves are quite stunning for me to watch how people do this. And it's quite beautiful, you know, this kind of, for me, it's the sense of when you're in the moment, you allow yourself to open and feel all that is happening here, then different things emerge. And so living our lives with possibilities have amazing effects on us. And the first one is we're less caught up by our assumptions, beliefs, and ideas. Life become much more multidimensional. It's not kind of a linear thinking. And we can feel the fullness of our lives. And then second, we are much more likely to be in harmony with the way things are. This word dharma also means the way things are. We can feel and sense what's here and what is shifting and changing. It may be very unpleasant and maybe even painful. Often, our expectations are that we're supposed to be not feeling the pain. You know, it shouldn't be here. And that's often the default orientation for us when we meet unpleasant, painful experiences. But we don't know that it may be worth lingering here to really know, get to know the pain, get to know the discomfort. By choosing to stay here without additional reactivities, we actually give ourselves a chance to deeply listen and feel and to learn about this heart and mind's capacity. And you may discover that the process of learning to be with this kind of a discomfort and pain actually offers a possibility to transform the heart and mind towards a deeper kind of a care or love and wisdom without contracting, tightening, or leaping out of the pain. In the suttas, the Buddha sometimes would refer to the person who's free as one who and the one who expects nothing. And the person who is not free as the one who has expectations. And so the last thing I wanted to share tonight is that
I wanted to say that how to become free of expectation is to expect to stumble. Because the force of expectations can be quite pervasive and deeply rooted in us. And so this becoming free of expectation is actually a practice. It's a sincere practice. It's immensely important for us to be truthful about where we are. And we kind of dial up our curiosity, our mindfulness, and we look and feel closely how it is for us inside of ourselves. When we don't know very clearly, we just say we don't know right now. It's not clear right now. And we don't have to confess to the whole world, but at least we are honest to ourselves. In fact, this empowers us to feel more authentic. And the feeling of authenticity actually is connected with a sense of well-being. And when we do see clearly, we can begin to choose to learn to respond to situation wisely, compassionately, as best as we're able. And so this phrase, as best as we're able, is quite important here. Again, it's this sense of we're really kind of staying with where we are, and we don't need to be expecting ourselves to be something different. And so the expectation that somehow we'd once and for all get rid of expectations is just another big expectation, right? It's much more meaningful and onward leading if we can begin to cultivate Dharma practice, mindfulness practice wholeheartedly, and we respond wisely as much as we can. And so this is the way for us to begin to go on this direction of becoming free from the tyranny of the expectations. And little by little, little by little. So thank you so much, everyone, for your attention. And I welcome any reflections or questions you may have, or protests. Mary.
So, I'd like you to maybe kind of talk a little bit about, when you're talking about expectations, what came to mind was they're somehow enmeshed with judgment. And then, but there's also discernment that's necessary, because we have to look at future things.
Yes.
But there's a real, I mean, I really get the felt sense of the judgment is just so, and discerning is just trying to, is I guess, more of looking at how things are and how, what role do they play in expectations?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question. A few things that came to my mind, maybe one that comes to my mind is the relationship between expectation and judgment could be that judgment can be a reactivity based on expectations. It can emerge out of, I should be this way. And then the judgment, if you have a met or unmet expectations, the judgment, judging mind can begin to emerge out of it and begin to harden it even more, as if you now have identified yourself, you're really defining yourself as someone. You know, I should have been this way, but I did not. Hence,
I am not good enough ever. You know, now that becomes a reactivity built on top of certain expectations. That's one possibility. And the discernment here is to begin to tease apart on this different states of minds that are emerging and that may be connected. But you can see, oh, you know, there is an expectation of something and there is a judgment that arose out of the expectation. And you can see, oh, that's just yet another layer on top of something. And so that discernment can begin to soften. I don't have to be identified or defined by this. And sometimes the expectation itself can feel like a judgment already. Yeah, they may already have a degree of judging in it. You know, if you're expecting other people certain way, that may already be a judging in there. And so being able to discern that can also allow us to soften the expectation that we may have, or maybe for us to begin to recognize the underlying expectation. Does that kind of connect with?
Yes. And it's like, I hate driving. And part of it is because there's an expectation that people are going to stop when the light's red. There's an expectation they're going to stop the stop sign. And I have had experiences where that just didn't happen. And it's really, sometimes it's very hard.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's very hard to let go of, I mean, those are different kinds of expectations. But for me, it's kind of like, can I just I could be surprised, but can I not be reactive?
That's right.
Those kinds of things happen, you know?
That's right.
You know?
That's right. So. That's the key. It's when the expectations no longer a tyranny in us is when we don't no longer reactive based on the outcome, based on the outcome of a situation. You know, in the situation like what you described, when the heart becomes more and more open, that it's able to hold the unexpected outcomes and not be swept away by it. And that's when the expectation no longer is a tyranny for us. It's just something that we, you know, we're anticipating things to be somehow ruly, you know, in this world and maybe in some sort of order in this world. But if it did not happen, how are we going to meet it? The tyranny of the expectation is, no, this is wrong, this should not be the way it is. Now either the system is a failure or I'm a failure, or you know, I'm going to start having a fight. Now we're caught. Yeah. Yeah, I hope this talk is not to say that we won't have any expectations in our lives, but we're learning to be free from the hardening or the grip of the tyranny of the expectations. That's when they rule our lives. You know, we kind of needed things to be based on how we believe they're supposed to be. And that's when they kind of overpower our capacity to have different possibilities.